So now we want to invite the servant of God to come and minister with us today as the Lord has prepared him. I believe that he has prepared a table for us to just, you know, stand before him and just listen to his word. And I believe we shall never be the same again. Thank you. Pastor, let's give a clap to the Lord. For
praise the Lord. Can you appreciate Mwalimu? That is our Mwalimu. He's our music teacher. So I'm excited. I'm excited for what God is doing. Are you really anticipating this season that we are in? The season of Christmas? Hallelujah. This morning, I want us to go into the word of the Lord. And I know Christmas being in the air, usually you hear people speaking about the Savior, and I think it's the right thing for us to talk about what the birth of Jesus Christ means to us. Praise the Lord. And so, and I know next Sunday, I know Mwalimu has prepared something also to remind us about what the birth of Jesus Christ means to us. Praise the Lord. Today, I would like us to begin and just preparing our hearts. And I want to bring a message what are we supposed to do, or who are we, or what does Christmas mean to us as believers? Praise the Lord. I'd like us to read from the book of Luke, chapter number 2, verse number 10, and we'll read, verse number 11. Luke, chapter number 2, verse number 10 and 11. I'm going to ask my sister Charity to read Luke, chapter number 2. Verse number 10 to 11, and I'll give you a microphone. Told you I was going to surprise you. So Luke chapter number 2, verse number 10 and 11.
Sorry about that. I wasn't ready, but we are there. Okay. Okay, I'm reading the book of Luke, chapter 2,
10 and 11.
Yes. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be told all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Continue.
And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now the story of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is been told throughout generations. Praise the Lord. There's no way we can disconnect the story of his birth to the story of his death. Praise the Lord. For he came that he may die. I was reading a quotation from somebody who had written about the birth of Jesus, and he was saying that he was wrapped with the sinful world just to remind him that in 33 years ahead of his life that he was gonna die for the sin of humanity. Praise the Lord. And when I think about the spirit of the season, as they call it, you know, I know in your neighborhood you've seen people putting up lights, you have seen people decorating their houses. You've even gone to the stores and you've seen people busy trying to buy gifts. And, you know, trying to make what they know about Christmas. But the sad thing about Christmas in this country is that it has been so commercialized. And I was reading somewhere today, and it was saying that American spends about $6 billion corporately on decorations. They spend about $465 dollars on gift, $1 billion on gift giving just for Christmas. Now, the most interesting thing is I have witnessed many holidays. People decorate, you know, their homes. And I think Christmas is just the most decorated or celebrated holiday. I don't know whether people really exactly know why they decorate it. Because, like in my neighborhood, I saw somebody during the Halloween. You know, during the Halloween, you can see all kinds of structures being put up in homes. And there's this home that we pass by, you know, just by neighborhood. During Halloween, they had skulls, and actually they had skulls that were moving. Almost very, very scary as you moved there. Until one time as we were driving along there with my wife, she told me, can we be using another route? Now, if you go by that same home, there's so much decoration for Christmas. And actually, I am surprised and I'm wondering, okay, what do these people believe in? Do they really believe in Halloween? Do they believe in Christmas? Do they believe in St. Patrick's? Because every season I see that home purely, completely decorated in the spirit of that particular celebration that is taking place. I received a letter the other day from Jeremy's teacher, and they're inviting us for a party. And this is what the letter said on the headline. It says, we will be celebrating Christmas, Hanukkah. What is this celebration that Tanzanians also celebrate? Kwanzaa. Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. All put up together in one word. This is what we'll be celebrating. And so we are inviting all of you to come. And as I look into the structure of this nation, as we have advanced, I have seen people peel away from the very original precepts that this nation was founded on. People have been drifting away and away and away, away and away, even as we continue to dwell in this land. The forefathers of this country founded this nation under the gospel, under the word of God. Amen? And there is this kind of an ideology in America whereby everybody have to be equal. You know, everybody has to be given equal opportunity. We don't have to discriminate against each other. And to some sense, it's good. I don't think it is right for us to discriminate people based on their color, based on their national origin, based on their gender. And by gender, I mean a man and a woman. But you know, we have rung, the bell has been rung of inclusiveness, whereby Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, or whatever it is, Halloween, you know, it has to be included in the society. And this is where, as children of God, we come in and determine who we are as children of God. Praise the Lord. Are we going to be involved in the celebrations of these things that are celebrated nationally just so that we can fit and just so that we can be included in what America or what the nations believe? We are going to stand firm for what we believe. Praise the Lord. And I was wondering when I was thinking about Christmas, and as we get into the mood of celebration, which is good, and which is good also to, by the way, if you can, decorate your home, let it look good, let there be lights, let it glitter, let people know that you are in the spirit. But what does Christmas really, really, really mean to us as believers? Christmas means that Jesus Christ was born on a manger, and 33 years later, he was to die on the cross for the sins of humanity. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says in the book of John, that Jesus came to his own, and his own recognized him not. But to all those that received him, the Bible says that he gave them what? Thank you. To all those that received him, he gave them power to become the children of God. This morning, I want to remind each one of us at the hearing of my voice that if you have received Jesus Christ in your life, you have been given power. Somebody say power. You have been given power. And it is not power that is physical. It is not power that you can visualize. It is not power that you can physically engage to take you to some place. But deep inside of us, there is power that we have been given as children of God. Praise the Lord. And so when we think about Christmas, when we think about what was done 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ being born in a manger, and when we are told about that it was God who came in form of a flesh, he jolted into the flesh of a human being so that he would be born for the sake of humanity and later die for our sins. And later as he dies, he says, to all those who have received me, I have given them power. Praise the Lord. That should really excite us. Praise the Lord. And as we decorate our homes, or as we meditate upon Christmas, or as we think about this festive season, it ought to go beyond just the regular decorating of our homes. Praise the Lord. It ought to draw a meaning deep inside of us. What does really Christmas mean in our lives? Praise the Lord. And God expects us to spread the word. It is kind of like we are supposed to be Christ ambassadors to tell others what the message of Christmas. If somebody comes to you and says, Happy Holidays, you need to tell them Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord. Because everything has been, you know, this is a holiday festive season. We started by Thanksgiving, which is a period of people giving thanks to the Lord or be thankful for things that have been done to them. And then prior to that, we had a Halloween where people celebrate, I believe, the devil. And now we have Christmas, and it's, you know, it is a festive, it is a holiday season. So people tend to say, Happy Holidays. But when somebody says to you, Happy Holidays, tell them, Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord. And if they ask you, what does Christmas mean to you? Or why do you say Merry Christmas to me? You will be able to explain what Christmas really means to you. What Christmas means to me is that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came in form of a flesh and born in a manger, born of a woman, and he lived and died for me. I have received him. He is now my Savior, and he has given me power. Praise the Lord. That ought to make us not take it for granted. Let me tell you, sometimes I feel like we have taken it as a cliche. The fact that, you know, Jesus Christ came down on this planet to redeem you and to redeem me. That ought to excite us every single moment of our lives. That should we die today, we are not going to be condemned. We are not going to be damned into hell, but we shall go to live with him years on end. Praise the Lord. That there is eternal life that has been planted in our lives. Praise the Lord. That through his death on the cross, we have received eternal life. Praise the Lord. And that ought to excite us. We should not forget that fact. It should not just be passed on as, oh, Pastor, you're just telling us what we already know. It needs to be reminded over and over in our lives that we have been born again. Praise the Lord. Remember the days that you were never born again. Remember the days when you are lost in sin. And the revelation of the word of God, I remember many, many years, you know, as I grew up. My parents used to be Catholics. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not really pinning down on anybody who is a Catholic. But my parents used to be Catholics. And every Sunday, they used to wake us up early. And we would walk almost 4 or 5 miles to go to church. And let me tell you, nobody would say that, oh, you know, I'm not going to go today. We went there day by day, day by day. And we used to perform the ordinances that are performed, you know, by the priest, you know, in the Catholic Church. But one day, my mother gave her life to Jesus. And it was through a man who used to come to our door, a minister of the gospel. She used to come and knock on our doors, and she used to come and tell us about Jesus. And I honestly didn't know that you had to receive Jesus in your life in order for you to be born again. And no wonder I know. No wonder there are many people today who have assumed a form follow a religious. A religious movement, but they don't know for sure that it is until you receive Jesus Christ into your life that you'll have eternal life. I didn't know. All I knew was to go to church every Sunday. And I know when my mother gave her life to Jesus, she started preaching to my father. She started preaching to us as kids. Actually, my dad was very wroth to my mother. I remember almost every day there was a fight in my house because my mother would seclude in a corner and she would pray. And some of you know that when the Spirit of God has taken over, she is praying and praying. And sometimes I think because of the fate of our family, she would cry and groan, and my dad would come and kick her. And I would say, yes, I think my dad is doing the right thing, because why is she crying? What are we lacking in our home? But I didn't know that my mother was on her knees praying for us. Praise the Lord. Well, let me tell you. One time, and my mother was, I remember very well, my mother was picking up, you know, the way you can pick up seeds from the wrong seeds and the right seeds so that you can prepare for the harvest. And my mother beckoned me and told me, son, you know the word of God says that unless you receive him as the Lord and Savior, you will never inherit the kingdom of God. I told my mother, I think you got it backwards, because I go to church every Sunday. I do all the things. In fact, I've started attending catechism. Very soon I'll start be taking Holy Communion in the Catholic Church. But let me tell you, my mother never gave up. And she continued to pray and to intercede for her family. One day, my father, while he was asleep, because my father, the Lord had to reveal himself to my father. While he is sleeping in the middle of the night, he saw all the sins that he had ever committed. That's what my dad says. I don't know. He says that he saw in a vision, like a movie, things passing over his eyes, over the things, including the beatings that he was doing to my mom. And at that very moment, in the middle of the night, my dad knelt down and gave his life to Jesus. Let me tell you, for my father to give his life to Jesus, that was something that I could not even comprehend. And I said, if my dad has given his life to Jesus, there must be something that I need to know about this salvation thing. And it was not probably about 2 years later, cut a long story short, that I was in the high school and I told God, God, if you can make me pass this examination, if you can help me pass this exam, then I will know that you are God and I will accept you as Lord and Savior. And God did exactly that. I would hear things being brought into my mind, things that I didn't even know, things about the subjects that I was reading. And guess what? I came out. I managed to pass that examination with flying colors. And at that point, I knelt down and I said, Jesus, for sure, you are God, and I give my life to you. Praise the Lord. Out there are many people who do not know the Lord. There are many people who do not know the meaning of Christmas. They might decorate just because other people are decorating. They might celebrate just because other people are celebrating. But we who know Christ have been sent out into the world as messengers to tell people the meaning of Christmas. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Let us read from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, 18 to 20. This is what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, 18 to 20. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Somebody say reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us. Somebody, he has committed to us. Come on, say like you mean it. He has committed to me. I see some people who are not saying it. Say, the Lord has committed it to me. Yes, he has committed to us. Praise the Lord. He has committed it to us, the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. Turn to somebody, tell them you are an ambassador of Christ. Yes, we are the ambassadors of Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us. As though God was making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God is counting on each one of us. Amen? It is like God is speaking through us, trying to reconcile the lost world to himself. Amen? God is in a mission and calling out on the world to come towards himself. And who is he going to use? He is going to use those that have accepted him as Lord and Savior. Praise be to God. And Jesus comes, you know, riding on that donkey while he is going through into Jerusalem, riding on that donkey. And as they are singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And he looked at the panorama of Jerusalem and he cries out and he says, I wish they know who is bringing this salvation to them. I wish they know that the Savior of the whole humanity is just about to enter the city of this Jerusalem. Yet, they have not recognized me. He cried and he sobbed just because they didn't know. But I thank God because of that word that tells us that we have been given power after accepting him. Praise the Lord. And after you have accepted him as Lord and Savior, he has made you a minister of reconciliation. How am I a minister of reconciliation, Pastor Tony? How can I go about telling other people about the Lord? The Bible calls you the salt of the earth. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that when the salt loses its saltness, it's supposed to be done what? It's supposed to be thrown away. It is supposed to be trampled down because it has no value. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he made us to become salt. And I was wondering, I think it was on Friday, when I was telling the people, I would like to know how salt loses its flavor. Because I've never seen salt, you know, just like that, losing its flavor. But I think we lose our flavor by not recognizing that in us, there is great power that has been infused in us as children of God. Praise be to God. I wish God can open up our physical eyes and open up our spiritual eyes so that we can see what he has done for each one of us. That we have power through the spoken word. That we can declare things and they can happen. Praise the Lord. That the devil has no authority over your children. That the devil has no authority over your marriage. That the devil has no authority over your neighborhood. That the devil has no authority over our lives. Praise the Lord. If only we can recognize who we are and stand our ground and speak without authority. The Bible says that the Lord has given us power and authority to step on the snakes. And that's why I really loved when we sang that song that the devil is right under our feet. Amen? The devil is right under your foot, beloved. If you didn't realize it, if the devil wanted to make you unaware of it, I want you to know that you have power to command the forces of darkness and be right under your foot in the name of Jesus. He has no right to creep through your family. Praise be to God. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago. He died for us. Praise the Lord. And in the midst of living in a country whereby materialism reigns in America, it is very easy for us to be absorbed in what is going on and we might be oblivious of who we are. It is very easy for us to be swept on by the spirit of materialism. I'm not saying that it is bad to get a good job. I'm not saying it is bad even to start a business. I'm not saying it is bad to pursue wealth. As a matter of fact, we need money in order for the kingdom of God in order for the gospel of Christ to be propagated. Praise the Lord. But remember the story of Peter and John. As they are going into the temple, there is someone who is a beggar who is seated by the street. And as this beggar sees Peter and John coming towards them, he says, you know what? These people will also give me some money. Praise the Lord. And as they approach him, he started saying, alms. In those days, he used to say, alms, alms. Nataka hela, nataka hela, nataka hela. And when they looked at Peter and John, he saw an opportunity and he saw money. See, this is how the world is. The world in which we live in, they are looking for people. The world always looks for what it can get from you. Praise the Lord. Even where you work, they want to maximize you know, where you work, the system wants to maximize so that you can give all. In fact, it wants to milk you so that you can give everything. That's how the world in which we live. It is looking for what it can get from you. Praise be to God. And so as John and Peter, they just walk by. They are looking at this blind person. And they are looking at him with his eyes, expecting for them to give him some money. But Peter looks at them, at him, and he tells him, "Silver or gold, don't we have none? I don't have any silver to give you. I don't have any gold to give you. What you expected what you expected for me to give you, I don't have. But I have something that is greater than silver and gold." I want you to know, church, son and daughters of God, that you have something greater than silver and gold. You may not have the money. You may not have the resources. You may not even have it all together. But deep inside of you, you have something that is greater than silver and gold. He looked at the beggar. Man, can you see the picture? He is looking at this beggar. He has been there maybe for some time, depending on the little pennies that people flip over his basket. And he is thinking, this is just another opportunity. They are going to give it to me and they are going to go and somebody else is going to come and I'm going to say alms and I'm going to repeat the same. It is a non-ending scenario. But he didn't realize that these two men that came by him, they held life eternally for him. They held in themselves complete change. Something that they would do for him that would completely revolutionize his life. I want you to know that you're working with people and they're waiting for you to just speak that word, kind word. They're waiting for you just to befriend them. They've been waiting for a long time for you to show up. Somebody say, show up. Do you know there are people that you work with, they've been wondering, what is this that is in this man? That everything he handles, the way he walks, the way he talks, the way he dresses, the way he does things, he is different. But they're waiting for us to show up. The world around us, our neighbors around us are waiting for us to show up. And how can we show up? It is by making ourselves friendly to them. By introducing ourselves to them. Who knows that we shall be ministers of reconciling them back to God. Hallelujah. And Peter and John looks at the beggar. He said, "Silver and gold have I none. But such as we have, we give unto thee. Rise up and walk." And this beggar, that was the last day that he sat on there waiting on alms. How many people are waiting out there just waiting for you to exercise the power and authority that God has given us? There are people, there are people I've heard who says, "You know what, Pastor? We came into this country and you know what? I'm not even bothered about what happens here. I will take all my resources back to Kenya." That is a good thing, my friend. But remember what happened to Abraham. What did God speak to Abraham? God spoke to Abraham and he told him, "Leave your people." Praise the Lord. "Leave the place that you have been used to. And I am taking you to a place that you do not know. Just go and I will lead you." And what did he also tell Abraham? "That in that place where I'm taking you, I will bless you. I will make you a father of great nation." Hallelujah. So don't look up, don't look down on yourself now that you are in a foreign land, a land that you are never born. God has a good plan for you even in this country. No, anybody who says that you're doomed because you come from Africa and that you're good for nothing, you know what? I've had people who have just dismissed us just the other day, especially writing about Kenyans, that Kenyans are useless, they are lazy, you know, and they are good for nothing. They just like populating the world. That is a good thing. That was a promise of God that we are supposed to. But somebody calling me lazy, you better think twice before you call me lazy. Because I managed to come out of nothingness without even money. I trusted God even on a single paper and went to an embassy, shivering and trusting on the Lord that I would get a visa. And you call me lazy? I boarded an aeroplane that I've never boarded. I never even thought that I would board an aeroplane. And I came to this land. And I'm still lifting up my head up. So you better not call me lazy. Let me tell you, we are the most industrious people the world has ever seen. With all due respect to the Americans, I love the Americans. But there was one time I was performing service, Sister Lorraine. And I went to Fort Worth. I met some people. I was doing some service work there. And I talked to this guy. He said, you know what? I come from Dallas. Have you been to Dallas? An old guy. He said, I was born in Fort Worth, you know, with a Texas accent. I was born in Fort Worth, and I'll never leave Fort Worth. I'll never go to Dallas. I cannot. They've never moved from any they've always lived in Fort Worth. And we are talking about 20 miles. Now, look at you. You came from Eldoret, or you came from Nyalgunga, or you came from Luyaland, or you came from Nakuru, wherever you went. Traveled 157 miles, kilometers to Nairobi, back and forth, trying to look for a visa. And you came 10,000 miles over to the United States. And God has given you favor. God has opened up doors for you. And you've come to find somebody in Fort Worth who doesn't want to move out of Fort Worth. And yet somebody's going to tell me that I'm lazy? Come on now. Praise the Lord. Do not listen to the voice of the enemy. You are highly favored of the Lord. And God has a good plan even in this land. Look at Joseph. Joseph is sold out to Egypt by his brothers. And what was meant for evil for Joseph. Look at what. Yes, he went through travail. Just as most of us go through very difficult situations before you settle. But what is the ending of Joseph? He becomes the prime minister of Egypt. A guy who was sold as a slave. He ends up becoming the prime minister of Egypt. Anything is possible, true child of God. When you believe God and when you God by who you are, when you know who you are in Christ, you can tell the situation and the circumstances and the atmosphere around you, I'm a child of God. And good things are coming towards me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us not allow ourselves to be swallowed by the spirit that is moving in this situation. The spirit of materialism. The spirit of inclusiveness. I refuse even to attend anything that doesn't celebrate the birth of Christ. I refuse to go to those meetings. And let me tell you, children of God, that we have been called to be ministers of reconciliation. Somebody say ministers of reconciliation. There's no greater time than this. There's no, listen, I watched a documentary by Tony Blair, and I'm almost done right now. Tony Blair used to be the Prime Minister of United Kingdom, right? And he was being questioned about the situation right now with the Islamic fundamentalism. This extremism that is pervading the Middle East and the spirit of ISIS, the spirit that is behind ISIS, killing and beheading other people. And he said, we can inject as much as we can as Western nations because we have the dollars. But you cannot kill the ideology that they have. You see, we can even bring all our tanks, all our terrorists to fight ISIS, and they can be defeated. But you know what? They're going to pop up in another place because the ideology is still there. And I like what President Obama said the other day. He said that he was asked, why don't you organize and take some foot soldiers, you know, some boots on the ground in Syria. He said, you know what, I can take the boots to Syria and I can conquer them. But suppose they come up in Yemen, suppose they come up in Lebanon. Am I always going to take the boots in Lebanon and where they pop up and where they pop up? But there's something that is very fundamental that I loved about what Tony Blair said. He said, we have to start as Western nation to infiltrate in the education system in those countries. We have to go to the babies. Forget the grown-ups. We have to go to the classrooms. Because that is where the fundamentalism is groomed. That is where the children, let me tell you, 3-year-old, they are shown videos of people being beheaded. Can you imagine? Like seeing Emiri going, you know that she's going to a school district that is showing, you know, displaying images of people being beheaded. That is exactly what is happening to the children there. Now, when they grow up with this thing, guess what? It is an ideology that has been already infused into their brains. Let me tell you, there's no greater opportunity. Let me tell you, we've been telling us, can we get volunteers to bring up, to teach our children the word of God? You know what? I know this is the devices of the devil making us feel that we cannot step up. You know, I told Purity the other day, I want, please enroll me. Enroll me. I want to be involved in the teaching of our children. Because what we teach them is what they're going to end up with. Praise the Lord. If we don't teach our children the word of God with this perverse society, who is going to take the gospel? You know, I was reading and I was so mesmerized that in many churches right now in America, they don't have even children ministries. Why? Because they are not children. They don't even have young people's ministry. They don't even young adults. They no longer, once they get to 18 years, they don't want to go to church. And I was wondering, because you're not going to live here like a rock, who is going to take up the gospel? Let me tell you, parents, listen to me, fathers and mothers. If there was a time that we gave our all for our children, teaching them the word of God, it is now. This word is going to preserve them in the midst of a very secular society. Amen? Blessed be God, and blessed be you if you have taken time to teach your children about the word of God. I was in a movie yesterday, and I'm not bragging about this. You know, it is good to bring our children to church. I was in this movie, in the Nutcracker thing, you know, for this kids' movie. I mean, some of you maybe have taken your children. And there was a cartoon movie, and we were there with Joshua and Jeremy and Susie. And they're playing this, they're doing the things. You know, it's a very boring movie, by the way, but it's only for kids. But there was this character that was playing the keyboard. You know, it's a cartoon. It was playing the keyboard, and it was going like this, and it was going like this. And Joshua, he said, "Oh, he's a nice worshiper." I said, "Come, you know, you're not supposed to talk in a movie theater." But I said, afterwards, I said, "Joshua, saying that he's a good worshiper, I said, this is something that is being ingrained by coming to church." He would have said, "Oh, that is a great rock star." But he said, "He's a good worshiper." Until I was looking around to see whether the people are making noise here. See? Whatever you put in them is what is going to come out. And let me tell you, if you don't put nothing in them, there are people in their schools who are putting other things in them, and that is what is going to come out. Are you listening to me, church? We've been called ministers of reconciliation. We have to pass intentionally. My God, I wish I can just drill it into us so that we know. Intentionally, Sam. Intentionally drill it to your kids, man. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about, let them sing about, when they come here, let's give them the opportunity. I love what Joseph does. We are training them. Amen? That's why it's important to bring them to church. Come to church early. Let them see the seriousness that you have in this thing. Let us show them the seriousness that we have. If you have young children, come to church early. Attend all those prayer meetings that they have. Do a Bible study or something, so that we can tell them about Jesus. Amen? This is how we are going to win this war, by training our children. If Tony Blair thinks it is that the only thing that they can win this fundamentalism, the extremism, is by going and changing the whole system of training and letting those countries abide by a treaty, he is very serious about it. The only way that you can finish terrorism is by going to the children, so that they can train up, knowing that you can be assimilated in a good society, love people, all people, nobody is bad. You don't even have to kill somebody so that you can go and you can go and meet some other women that have been prepared for you. Those are doctrines of the devil. Are you listening to me? So we have a responsibility, church. We have a responsibility passing this over to our children. Praise the Lord. Now, this is my last scripture that I'm going to read. 2 Timothy, verse number 3, 1 to 5. This is a scripture that we all know. We've heard about it. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. Have you not seen these things now? Ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure than lovers of God, showing to have a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. The Bible said, avoid such men as this. Praise the Lord. Now, who are these people that are being talked over here by the word of the Lord? Don't fall, son. This society, we are encroaching in a society that you've heard of mass shootings. Somebody wakes up one day and he feels that he doesn't love a group of people and he goes and kills them without even a sense of responsibility. You're waking up every morning, you don't even know whether your children are going to be attacked in schools. But I wake up every morning and declare safety to the schools where our children go. Amen? You wake up, you don't know whether you're going to hear a report of somebody else who have been killed. This is the society that we are living in. And there's a spirit that is moving. And what I'm praying to all of us is that we may disconnect. We may discern the spirit that is operating in our area. And that we may disconnect and be the children of God. Amen. Are you listening to me? Praise the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 6, 19. Chapter number 2, verse 16. For the eyes of the Lord are ranging throughout the face of the earth, looking for somebody who is completely committed to him, that he may strengthen him. Amen. We have not lacked strength. Strength is readily available. And God is carrying, it's like God is carrying strength in his hands. And he is looking, and he's looking, and he's saying, oh, Pastor Julius is well committed to me. I'll give you my strength. And he's looking for somebody who is well committed to him. Oh, I see, Pastor Chi, I'll give him some strength. So we can't say that we don't have any strength. But there's a condition to that strength. God is looking for people who are ready to use that strength, because he's not going to come and dish out that strength to nobody who is not willing to use it. Amen? But if we are willing to use it, Jim, he's going to dish it out to you. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that his eyes range throughout the face of the earth looking for somebody who is throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. May our hearts be found committed to him, church. May we be found committed to him. May we be found with an eagerness to serve the Lord. Amen? In spite of the things that we may be going through, may we be found with a group of people who are eager to serve the Lord. When it is called for us to volunteer in a certain area, don't say that responsibility is for just a few in the church. No, it is your responsibility, beloved child of God. Amen? Have that eagerness. God sees that eagerness. Be responsible in the work that you have been given. Be responsible to be a minister of reconciliation. God has called us an ambassador of Christ. Who is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative, is a legal representative of a certain nation to a certain nation. God has called you an ambassador. Amen? Let us live. Let us live to the expectations that God wants us to live. And in this Christmas season, I want you to know that you are different. We are not just, when we decorate our homes, we are going to decorate with an intention. Intentionally decorating that this is because of what my Lord has done for me. When I buy a gift to somebody that I may not know, I'm not only going to buy a gift for my child. It's good to do that. But I can also give, because Christ gave to all. You can identify somebody. Amen? And show love and show kindness to somebody that you've not shown this season. How about picking up somebody, maybe a homeless guy? Maybe buy a meal. Just go out, spend about $13, $15, buy a meal and look for somebody and just bless them. And bless them in the name of what Jesus has done for us. Praise the Lord. We've been called the ministers of reconciliation. Stand on your feet and let us conclude. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is an honor for me to stand before this, your children, to deliver your word to them. I know that the devil would want to infiltrate lies that we don't amount to nothing and we're just regular people. But I refuse to take these lies of the devil. I'm not just a regular somebody. The Bible calls me more than a conqueror. The Bible calls me a child of God who has been given power and authority, and that I can step on snakes and scorpions and nothing shall by any means hurt me. The Bible calls me an ambassador. My goodness. An ambassador has he has immunity from any legal attachment for the country in which he is, because he is a representative of another nation. Father, I pray that you shall reveal this greatness in us, that as we work and as we inhabit this planet, as we walk and as we do certain things, we shall not do them just as other people do. But we shall do them, Lord, as men and women who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Father, I pray that you shall cause us, Lord, even to represent you in various places that we go. Father, help us to see the opportunities that you bring to us. There are people who are going to be in need, that are going to drive by us, that are going to walk by us. We are not just going to let them go just like that. And because you've caused us to be ministers of reconciliation, I pray that you shall help each one of us to seize the moment. And Father, be that person that you've always wanted us to be. I pray for this congregation. I pray for every member who is attached to this church, whether here, whether not, that God, they are going to have a wonderful Christmas. That God, we shall reflect on what you did on the cross for us, and that Father, we shall leave it proudly, knowing that we are proclaiming your death until you come. Thank you, Father, for each one of us. I pray for a hedge of protection round about each one of us. For those who the devil has sent out arrows, Lord, I render them powerless in the name of Jesus. No plan of the devil will ever succeed over any one of us in the name of Jesus. And where, Father, we've been consumed or almost being assimilated within the spirit of secularism, I pray that you shall remember, ring a bell in us, so that we may see what is happening, that we may withdraw and that we may regroup together and be the church. I pray we shall be messengers of hope. We shall be messengers of reconciliation. We shall be men and women who take up responsibility in the church, particularly in teaching our children the word of God. Father, Lord, we can do nothing unless you help us. And therefore, surrendering to you, we are depending on you, Father. Strengthen us even where we do not want to do things. You can enable us, Lord, even to be teachers to our children. If we do not know how to do it, you are going to help us, Lord. Our dependence is on you. Therefore, Lord, as these people, God, have that desire, Lord, I pray that you shall fulfill each and every desire and be glorified in their lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Give Jesus a mighty hand clap offering. I will invite Mualim to come and continue.